Well, this evening we come to question and answer four in our shorter catechism. Question and answer four of the Westminster Shorter Catechism. You can find this on page 968. Question and answer four. What is God? God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. Well, this week's catechism is short and sweet, and I'm convinced in eternity, 100 million years from now, we'll still be marveling at some of the lessons that this teaches us about God. First off, we don't want to miss the first word of the catechism question. It's what? It asks, what is God? It's not, who is God? And this is significant because the catechism wants us to be prepared to learn that God is other. God's not like us, not in his essence, not in his being. And I was sharing this with a couple of the men at the picnic on Saturday. But our evangelical friends would likely begin this kind of question by asking, who is God? And it's not that that's a horrible question per se, but it begins with the premise that God's a person like us. So it's tempting to say, I'm a person, God's a person, let's use personhood to tell us what God's like. And you see, our catechism helps us avoid some of the grievous pitfalls that you can slip into if that's your starting point, trying to learn about God. It's what is God? Because he's of a different kind than we are. And the catechism builds on this when it tells us about God's essence. He's a spirit, and his pure spirit. God's unique and unlike anything he's made. In the essence of his divine being, he doesn't have a body. He doesn't exist in material form, which is why we sometimes speak of God as being invisible. And you might be thinking, but doesn't the scripture sometimes speak of the Lord having hands and feet and a mouth and this and that? And it does. And this is what theologians speak of as anthropomorphisms, which is simply a way of saying God condescends to us and to communicate to us in human terms that we can understand. But he's condescending to us. We don't go the other way around when we are learning about him. You might think of it this way. It's God's way of doing baby talk to us because that's what we need. Well, the catechism goes on to teach us about the attributes of God. And by attribute, we simply mean what the Word of God teaches us about God's character and nature. Now, you'll sometimes hear theologians make a distinction between God's incommunicable attributes and his communicable attributes. His incommunicable attributes are those descriptions of God's character and being that can only apply to him. They can't be applied to us as creatures. The incommunicable attributes of God are descriptions of God where human beings have no point of reference in their being to what God's like. And that would include the first three attributes that the catechism mentions. God's infinite, he's eternal, and he's unchangeable. So in regards to space, God's infinite. That means he has no boundaries. In regards to time, God is eternal. He has no beginning and no end. And in regards to time and space, God is unchangeable. You have to understand what a remarkable thing that is. There's a saying, it goes way back to a philosopher named Heraclitus, but there's a very common saying that says the only thing constant in the universe is change, right? And that's absolutely true. Everything in the universe is subject to change except the being of God. Except the being of God. Well, then the Catechism goes on to mention God's communicable attributes. And these are qualities about God's that are communicated to or bestowed upon His image bearers. That is, those final seven attributes do have a point of reference in human beings made in the image of God. And here's what that means. Every human being made in God's image is going to have a sense or some idea of being, of wisdom, of power, of holiness, of justice, of goodness, of truth. We all have some understanding of those by virtue of being created and made in the likeness of God. In fact, prior to the fall, Adam would have reflected these attributes perfectly. Not exhaustively, not comprehensively, not as God does, but quite perfectly nonetheless. After the fall, all those attributes are shattered, not erased, but utterly distorted. Think of it this way. Before the fall, Adam was wise. After the fall, Adam wanted and needed wisdom. Before the fall, Adam was good. After the fall, he longed to know and experience goodness. Before the fall, Adam loved. After the fall, Adam sought to love and be loved, and undoubtedly in wrong places. And one of the takeaways of this is that the only way, as fallen creatures, we're going to rightly understand anything of God's attributes, anything of what God's like, is if He reveals Himself to us in His Word. God has to tell us what God is like. Well, as a heads up, we're going to be diving into the attributes of God when we get to Romans 11, 33 through 36. But for now, let's keep praising the Lord, standing to sing number 214.